Well, go ahead and take out your Bibles and turn to 1 John. 1 John chapter 5. We're talking about, we're going to be in the first five verses this morning. This time together in 1 John and three more after this. And this will be our study of this time through 1 John will be finished. And then we're going to have a short or a brief study of 5 weeks on the topic of communication, all from Ephesians chapter 4. And I'm really looking forward to that and hopeful about it. Sunday school classes will have the same study. You're always going to have somebody you got to talk to, so you might as well be good at it. So we're going to take a look at communication for 5 weeks. Doing God's will in life and how to communicate well. It is it's a human deal. Not very many people are that good at communicating. And the English language drives you nuts anyway. But that's not really the issue in communication we're going to talk about. And then for the remainder of the year, almost the entire year, all the way until the latter parts of December, we're going to be in 2 Corinthians. And like I said last week, one of the things that I'm hopeful for about the time change is that I don't have to feel like my study time is slaved to the encore hour. And I was really kind of stunned when I looked over my notes from 5 or 6 years ago on 2 Corinthians, 13 weeks, and it's like 40 now. So figure that out. We passed a lot of stuff. And so just be praying about that as we as the year goes on. It's an amazing epistle. Our amazing book. Last week, we talked about this issue of fear, anxiety, and worry. And, of course, remembering that there is a good fear. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And fear is given to us to keep us from danger. But there, what our human heart does is it dwells on sinful fear. And we tend to get caught up in the things, the unknowable, uncontrollable future. Dwelling on those things. We live in a world that is consumed by fears. We talked about last week about the various phobias and panic attacks, nervous breakdowns, worry in every day and every area of life. Fear. In the Bible, God encourages us, fear not, over 100 times. Over 100 times, fear not. This is Jesus talking to his followers. Fear not, little flock, it's your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Fear not, over 100 times. And Jesus taught extensively on fear and what our fears, where our fears come from and what the root of those fears is. John, we saw that there is no fear in love. Perfect love casts out fear. It's a replacement for fear. It's very interesting. It's very often the way that life works, isn't it? There's something in your path, and if you try just to ignore it, it's not going to go away. You have to replace that. And fear is one of those. Anxiety and worry is one of those. You need a replacement. And love counteracts fear. Real biblical or true love counteracts fear. Fear says, how might this thing hurt me? Or how might this circumstance or this person hurt me? The unknowable, uncontrollable future. Where love would say, how can I serve? How can I be a blessing? How can I help? Fear dwells on what could possibly go wrong and really focuses on everything that could go wrong. Where in love, you think no evil or you look for the positive in every situation. You look for the good instead of dwelling on everything that could possibly go wrong. It's very easy to do, isn't it? Oh, here's what's going to happen. Well, I know what's going to happen now. Right? Well, no, you really don't, do you? You might have an idea or you think, but not necessarily. I don't know how many times in my own life I've just been, oh man, this is so bad, it's going to go bad. And the next day it wasn't even that bad. You almost feel like an idiot then. What in the world would I spend all that energy on, all that worry on, all that time on, all that concern on, work myself up into a great big fuss, nothing happened. Isn't that crazy? That's humanity. That's life right there. But love, you look for the positive. It doesn't think that of the evil. and you don't dwell on that, and especially as it relates to people. Fear is highly suspicious. Highly suspicious. You know, what's their motive? What's going to happen? What's going on? And love believes all things. It believes the best. It believes, it's not suspicious. It just believes what you see. And again, you can have a conversation if you're worried about something. Dreads the uncertain future. Fear dreads the uncertain future. Dread. I don't know if you've ever experienced that or talked to anyone that's like that. Whereas love hopes all things. I've talked to people many times in my life where they just wear their dread. I mean, you just see the dread on them. Oh, there's just that heaviness. Like, oh, I don't know, it's just terrible. And I don't know how many times, I try not to. I don't know how many times I've sat down with someone in a counseling situation. They tell me their story and it's just this, the end of the world. And to me, I'm just like, really? That's your problem? You came here for that? I mean, that's not that bad, But it's bad to them, right? It's their issues, what they're struggling with. I remember a young man several years ago. He came here. I think he came here and gave testimony before we were doing the videos. And his problem, he was dread. He was wearing dread. He would walk slumped over. He was so down and so consumed by his problem. And I think any normal functioning person would have just shrugged it off. But to him, it was life-dominating. It wasn't that big of a deal. Really, he just needed to deal with it. And of course, he did very well. He loved the Lord, and as soon as he got a hold of the truth, he just transformed his life. But to him, it was just overwhelming dread, fear, and it led to anxiety and worry and just a downward spiral and all those kind of things. There was no hope in the guy's life at all. And it was great to see God work through that. Fear hides and worries about what might possibly go wrong. So you fear, and then you hide from what you're fearing, and then you worry about what might go wrong, and then you manipulate to try to mitigate circumstances so that it won't go wrong, and you do all that and spend all that energy. Where in love, you just take action and you solve the problem. And you get past it, you work through it, instead of dwelling on the uncontrollable future. Fear leads to more fear, and that downward spiral to depression and all those kind of things. Where, of course, love leads to more love. Overcoming, as I'm talking about today, faith and growth. And becoming an overcomer. So, from chapter 4 into chapter 5, read along with me. Everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ has been born of God, and everyone who loves the Father loves whoever has been born of Him. By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and obey His commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments, and His commandments are not burdensome. And everyone who has been born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Who is it that overcomes the world except the one who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? Simple, to the point, passage again, not surprising. Let's pray together. Well, God, thank you again for this reminder from your word and the encouragement in it today. We have real enemies in this world, in the world system, but even just in the brokenness of it, and the death and all the sickness around us, even as we've experienced so much this year, so many of our people are getting sick and their bodies failing them. And it's just a real stark reminder of the brokenness of our world. Help us as we study and think on how to be an overcomer today, that we would grow and be filled with hope. And just encourage us, God, for the better days ahead. We know you promised us good things, and we're just resting in those promises and just looking hopeful in how you're going to work in this day. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I've entitled this, How to Be an Overcomer. I'm not sure that that really fits what I'm going to talk about, because it's not really a real how-to deal going on here. We're just kind of looking at the passage. But being an overcomer is in this passage. To overcome means to prevail, or in a sense to win, to have victory, to get the victory, to defeat an enemy. The Greek term literally has to do with defeating an enemy. can see in this, let God be true, though everyone were a liar, is written that you may be justified in your words when you and prevail when you are a judge. And the New King James renders that overcome. It's the same idea, that you might overcome when you are judged. It really has the same sense of what John is talking about. Now, the passage we read is about overcoming the world, and he's specifically talking about the evil world system in there as he talks about the world. And he covers that earlier in the epistle, the world, the evil world system. So Satan and his evil world system, Jesus called him the ruler of this present age. And so he is the one at the head of the evil world system. And that's why we need to overcome the world. And I know all of you understand that and get that. But that is just a stunning deal, isn't it, when you think about it? The world, as you see it out there, there are days, oh my, but it really isn't nearly as bad as it could be, is it? It really isn't. It's a pretty nice place to live most days, isn't it? It really is. It's barred by sin, and the sickness and the death, and the evil, and the oppression, and all those kind of things that are our world. But really, it's not as bad as it could be by any stretch of the imagination. But when we sit back and we think spiritually, and we think of those times when there really is resistance, and we think about what's going on in the world, and that there is a very real person, Satan, and he is really opposing the plan of God, and he is really at the head of the evil world system, and he really has minions that are out there working for the destruction of people's souls, it is a serious matter. And the evil world system is nothing to scoff at. It is nothing to take lightly either. Even though they're not as bad as they could be, or they're not as oppressive as they could be to us, there are times, you know, you hear a lot about oppression in China, right? You know, they're communists and they oppress. And China is large, so a lot of times in the region, there's a lot of freedom for Christians in China. More than you would think. You might be shocked. One of my friends had the opportunity, a mayor of a region, a governor of a region, asked him to tell him the gospel in a restaurant. So you're a pastor, and what is all this stuff? Tell me about this Bible stuff. What do you know? And so he got to stand up in front of a crowd to share the gospel through a translator in the middle of China. But I've heard that for whatever reason, the communists are cracking down again on churches and things and really stirring things up in certain areas and cracking down. There is real oppression that goes on. There is real resistance at times. We need to overcome the world because Satan is behind the evil world system. The evil world system, if you're a believer in Jesus Christ, is against you, and there is a real war. There is a real war, a spiritual war. The devil is the enemy of your soul. And it's bizarre to think of how deeply twisted the devil is, that his main goal is your worst. That's why the Bible calls him the meaning of the devil, the Antichrist. It's the complete opposite of Jesus. Jesus wants the best thing there is for your soul, the best possible. The devil just wants to destroy you. And that's horrible. And he's the head of this evil world system, and we're in this war. So the world then, in its way, it's not as bad as it could be, but in its way, it wars against your soul. It wars against you. The world system, its desires, plan, its system and everything wars against you. And so that's why we need to overcome the world. Now, the world system and Satan hates God, and all the spirits behind the world system hate God. And now, I don't know how that strikes you, but when I start talking about that, I don't start thinking about overcoming. I mean, it's just like, really? Okay, what do you got to beat here? The whole world system. Knock yourself out. Go get it. That's it. No, that's not it. What do you mean? There's a devil behind that too and a whole bunch of demons. What? Overcome. Yep. Overcome. In fact, John says, we have overcome. Whoa. That's pretty cool when you think about it. There's this war. It's a serious matter. It's a heavy deal. As I said, the world hates you. You know it has hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love you as its own. You're not of the world. I chose you out of the world. The world hates you. Do not be surprised, brothers, that the world hates you. We know that I have passed out of death into life because we love the brothers. Whoever does not love abides in death. Don't be surprised if the world hates you. What hope do we have? We can overcome. We can overcome. And there's several points here. How to overcome, how to be an overcomer. First one he gives us is to overcome by faith. This could be the first and the last one if you want it to be. It's not according to this passage, but it could be. The whole passage is about faith. So much of the book of 1 John is about faith. Everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ in verse 1, this is the victory, our faith in verse 4. And that's not to puff us up, by the way, right? You could get that. I don't know necessarily any of us, our minds would go there, but I know some people who would. Hey, this is a victory. What is it? Our faith. And so if your faith is there, that's the victory. Wow, look at how great my faith is, and that's the victory. But our faith even comes as a gift from God. It's in our faith. It comes as a gift of God, and our faith is in what God has done. All right? It's not in what we have done, what I have done, how great I am, how good I am to overcome the world system, but in the faith of what God has done. And in verse 5, the one who believes that Jesus is the Son of God. So the whole passage is about faith. Now, he's talking predominantly, or the main thrust here is salvation. Who is it that overcomes the world except the one who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? He's talking about salvation. So, how to overcome? The sad reality of our world is, every person who does not have faith in Jesus Christ is sunk in this world. Sunk. It's just a personal thing, but for me, that's one of the reasons it's easier, not easy, but it's easier for me to have compassion on people who are my loud, nasty enemy in this world. Because I'm not going to go out in the street and kick a blind man into the street because he's blind. Laugh at him. Wouldn't that be horrifying? You see a blind guy going down the street and you punch him in the kidney and laugh at him and knock him down? So why do you get angry with an unbeliever who's blind? They're just blind. Of course they're fools. They're blind. You don't have to get angry about it. That's why it's easier for me to have compassion on them, because they're sunk. They can't overcome. They're under the sway and the power of the devil, who has blinded unbelievers so that they would not see the light of the gospel and the glory of the face of Jesus Christ. Who is it that overcomes the world except the one who then believes in Jesus Christ? Now, the second side of this coin is that's really good news. It's really good news. Because I don't know if you're wired to be a doer like I am. You might think, well, I've got to overcome. I better get a list going and let's get this thing done. And John is reminding us, you are an overcomer, right? How? You've believed in Jesus Christ. You've already overcome the world system. Okay, it doesn't feel like it. Deal with it. You've overcome. The victory is won. It's over. Christ already won. The world system's defeated. It's still going on, isn't it? Time is still flowing. And everybody, maybe the devil, when we read Revelation, it seems like he thinks he still has a chance, right? No, it's over. It's already done. The Father knows the beginning from the end. It's a foregone conclusion. You have overcome. Faith is how you overcome. This is a victory, our faith, right? Faith in what Jesus accomplished. Jesus has already won. Do you now believe? Behold, the hour is coming. Indeed, it has come when you will be scattered each to his home and will leave me alone. Yet I am not alone. The Father is with me. I have said these things to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you have tribulation. Notice this. Take heart. I have overcome the world. Wow. Right? Praise the Lord. Faith in what Jesus has done. He has overcome the world. He went to the cross. He died for our sins. The world system has a limited amount of time left. It's over. He gives us the Holy Spirit. You are from God and overcome them. Little children, you are from God and have overcome them. He who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. Of course you're an overcomer. You have the Spirit of God in you, greater than the Spirit that is in the world. No one overcomes apart from Jesus. Those who are in Jesus have already overcome. Overcome by faith. The Christian life can only be lived by faith. You have to come to God by faith, first of all. Without faith, it's impossible to please Him. Whoever would draw near to God must believe that He exists and that He rewards those who seek Him. You have to live by faith. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, from faith for faith. As it is written, the righteous shall live by faith. And so, of course, then we overcome or we war by faith. The weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but have divine power to destroy strongholds. He's talking about believing what the Bible said, that the Word of God has power and it tears down the arguments and the strongholds that we build up in our life that are contrary to God. Everyone who has been born of God overcomes the world. Faith. I told our class this last week, one of the things that I try to do, I know I don't do well at it as I'd like to, one of the things I try to do every day is if I could increase someone's faith in Jesus Christ that day, I would see it as a successful day. If as I go through life, somehow, in some way, in whatever place God puts me, I can increase someone's faith in Jesus Christ, I would see it as a successful day. That goal has certainly changed in my life now. I'm a doer. How many people did I share the gospel with this week? How many people did I do this with? How many times did I do that or whatever? That's okay. But I think this is superior. You know, guide your conversation. How do you increase someone's faith in Jesus Christ? What do they need to know about what God has said and what kind of hope can I impart to them today? The Christian life can only be lived by faith, so of course we overcome by faith. It's how God has designed this current age to work. Now, I love that passage where he says, now abide faith, hope, and love. Right? And he tells us then right after that, pretty soon, the only thing that's going to last is love. So one day we're going to see him face to face. John says that, right? We don't know what we're going to be like, but we're going to see him. We're going to be like him because we're going to see him face to face. We're not going to need faith forever, but today you do. Today you have to trust Christ. God is spirit. He's not going to appear here in the flesh. We have to come to him by faith. And so we have to overcome by faith. What does that look like in your life? What does that look like? Well, the world has its message. The world has its desires for you. Believing what God says. And living God's way. That's just simple. It's very simple, isn't it? Overcome by love then. Five times in these few verses, love. Love God and love people. Everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ has been born of God. Everyone who loves the Father loves who has been born of Him. Love the Father, love who has been born of Him. Love God and love people. And specifically in this one, other Christians. So I would say it this way. It's interesting to me. Wage war by love. Right? Wage war by love. There is a lot of war in our culture, isn't there? Isn't our culture just full of war? And so, you got the enemy of your soul, and you got his minions warring against you, and you're watching the wrong TV program. Next thing you know, you're fired up, right? And so what do? If you're a good American, you run to Facebook. I'm going to tell them what I think. They need to hear this. Right? In fact, I found a really cool picture that's going to zing them. Overcome by love. That's a little different, isn't it? Overcome by love. Love God, love people. Wage war by love. Did you know that Christians will be the only ones that will wage war by love? They're the only ones that will. No one else is going to do it. Right? They're not going to do it. Love your enemies, Jesus said. You've heard it said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. I said, you love your enemies. Pray for those who persecute you. Pray for them. Love them. Love them. Wait, they're my enemy. Love them. Wage war by love. Do good. Don't be overcome by evil. Overcome evil with good. So it's be specifically putting feet to your love. Again, this is something I wrote several months ago. I'm glad I write these months before because I'm not sure I would write some of the things I do the day of. Any fool can kill and destroy. Any fool can kill and destroy. Any fool can tear down. Any fool can put a big zinger up and hurt people, defame people, make people feel bad. Any fool can do that. Only those who are focusing on Christ, in Christ, will show genuine love. And that is a work of the Spirit of God. Wage war by love. Don't get dragged into the world's nasty. Don't be part of the world and follow the world. Loving your enemies will certainly cost you. Oh, it'll cost you. Ouch. I mean, think about your flesh. Even when someone has been so nasty, what do you want to do? I think I'm going to give them $100. Right? You want them to pay, don't you? Right? You want them to feel what you feel. It'll cost you, just even that. Love them. Love them. Don't be dragged into the world's nasty. What did Jesus do? God shows his love for us that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. I mean, right? Think about the culmination of that statement. Here's Christ. He comes out of the glory of heaven and he plants himself in human form right in the middle of our broken fallenness, right in the middle of people who hate him, who are calling him the devil, who make him carry his own cross and they torture him and they spit on him, right up to the point when they nail him up and they let him die bleeding in humility right there. And he says, "Oh, Father, forgive them. They don't even know what they're doing." Wow. Love your enemies. Christ did that. God shows his love for us that while we were sinners, Christ died for us. Jesus loved his enemies. Still does. Still does. That's a tragedy of humanity that people would go to hell, that any person would reject Christ and go to hell. There is no reason for it. God is still loving his enemies. Any person who just turn to Christ. Overcome by love, though, for us today. Totally countercultural. That's the point, isn't it? Isn't that the point? I mean, the world is opposite of the world system. That's the point. Overcome by obedience. Obey God's word. By this we know we love the children of God when we love God and obey his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome. Obey his commandments, verse 2. Keep his commandments, verse 3. And his commandments are not burdensome, again, verse 3. So we're not obeying God by compulsion because, well, I have to, but because we love him. When we love God and keep his commandments. When we love God and obey his commandments. You can see that in humanity all the time. And guess what? I do have my moments. So, and, you know, I'll be driving down the road and people will be flying around me 116 miles an hour in a 20-mile-an-hour zone, you know. And all of a sudden, I got to slam on the brakes. What happened? Police. Everybody wants to obey the law when they got to obey the law, right? You'll get a ticket. Police is there. That's the opposite of what he's saying. Those people don't love the police officer, right? They fear the police officer. When you love God and you obey his commandments, because his commandments are not burdensome, you know by faith that what God has told you is for your good. It's to help you. It's to keep you from harm, to keep you out of trouble, to keep you from death, to keep you from the lies of the devil, to keep you on the right path. And hear this today, to give you a full, joyful life. That's what God is not. You know, I hate that. That somehow God has gotten the rep that he's this cosmic killjoy. That's of the world, isn't it? God has a great sense of humor. Jesus said, "I've come that you may have my joy, and that your joy would be full," right? But his way, not our own experiential way that we think life should work. It's this destruction. That's of the world. So you love God and obey his commandments. You know, to whatever degree is fine, whatever. I hope you grapple with that a little bit today. I really do. I hope, I pray that you will grapple with that today. Am I joyfully loving God and obeying his commandments? Or am I doing what I have to because I've been told to? Because it's my family history. Because it's how I grew up. Because it's da-da-da-da-da. And I, you know, because the Bible said so. Whatever, right? I'll take that, that's okay, but is that really what he's saying? And what he's encouraging us is this. God is real. God loves you. God has communicated to you. That should fill you with some encouragement. And you should just say, wow,
What a God. Of course I'm going to obey him. You kidding me? He went to the trouble to give me an entire book. Of course I'm going to read it and follow it. Right? He delivered it to me so I could know him. Wow, that's awesome. I'm going to follow him. Not because I have to or it's a set of rules or do's and don'ts or whatever. And again, that's just one of those things that's incredibly discouraging to me about Christianity. As I see, so many people are consumed with various forms of legalism. And it could be anybody at any time. And I'm not, well, it's not rock and roll church, they're not legalistic. Sure they are. Right? It's not the point. The point is our human hearts are just pulled towards that stuff. And John is really challenging us that on this today. That we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome. We're not doing it because we have to, and it's the law, and there's this thing, and we're trying to fulfill some, oh, I better do this, I gotta do that. You've missed the point. Totally missed the point. You love God. Of course I want to keep his commandments. I love God. Of course I want to obey him. I love God. Of course I want to please him. He's my God. The Bible is our authority. The Bible is our authority. Writing you fathers because you know him who is from the beginning. I'm writing to you young men because you have overcome the evil one. I'm writing to you children because you know the Father. I write to you fathers because you know him who is from the beginning. I write to you young men because you are strong and the word of God abides in you and you have overcome the evil one. Two times he talks about overcoming in that one passage right there. And he's talking about knowing God through the word and obeying the word of God that he has given us. The Bible is our authority, and the Bible is what we use to war against the lies of the enemy. And that's the place just to keep going back. Don't be afraid to ask the question, why? Why? Here's what you need to do. Here's what you need to believe. Why? Where does that come from? Is that your opinion, or does God said that? Why? Who told you that? Well, it's Professor Jimmy. What in the world do I care about Professor Jimmy for? What does the Bible have to say about that? Well, that's not right. He has 8 PhDs. I don't care. What's the Bible have to say about that? I had a friend who worked at NASA for 30 years. He worked on the original moon project. He's with the Lord. He had 6 PhDs, and he was told at a conference he wasn't a scientist. He worked at NASA 30 years. He had 6 PhDs. He believed in the literal creation of the world. He wasn't a scientist. Isn't that nuts? The world is going to be telling you things, you know, here's what you need to believe, here's what you need to hear. It's going to change all the time. The Bible is our authority. The Bible is our authority. We have to come back to that. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world. See, again, the world system is talking about, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. So you overcome by obedience. The Bible is our authority. Obey God. Keep his commandments from the heart. Know God. You will become an overcomer. You won't be dragged down as easily by the world system and the things of the world. Now, you won't be as easily influenced by the lies of the devil and the lies of the world as you center yourself on the word of God. So as you obey, certainly as you know and obey the word of God. So in closing, we wage a different kind of war in this world, a different kind of war. I think the devil is completely pleased when we get to fussing and fighting with the people of the world. I think he is just as happy as a lark when that happens because we've completely missed it. When we're just over there fighting over things that don't matter and fighting for our desires and fighting for our rights and all this stuff, I think the devil loves it. Wage a different kind of war. Change your view of the Christian life and change your view of the war. We are in a spiritual war. We are in a war for the lives and souls of people in this world. And hear this for your life and soul as well. Amen. I mean, this is real stuff. Change the way that you war. Now, it's simple to me. Trust Christ, love your enemies. Trust Christ, love God, love your enemies. Trust Christ, have faith. I think part of the reason it's so easy humanly to get sucked into the world's nasty, right, and to start warring at the wrong level, is because the other option is to trust God to work it out.
right? I would rather pick up a gun and eliminate my enemy. It's over, right? That's easy. That's not what God's called us to do. He's called us to trust Him to work it out. Hey, if you were here for the study of Revelation, if you ever read the book of Revelation, you can handle it. Amen? He's got it. He's going to take care of it. Trust Christ, love your enemy. And then it also, lastly in closing, change our view of the Christian life, change the nature and our view of the spiritual war, change the way we war, and change the way you feel. I think that's just as important. It really is. Change the way you feel. It changes the way you feel. I mean, I was being honest when I say, I look at this world, I don't feel like an overcomer. I mean, the world is against you. And it's a pull for me. The more that I try to disconnect myself from what I see as things that I don't care about, I don't want to be around, it gets harder. You're isolated. You're on the outside. You're a weirdo. Who wants to be a weirdo, right? You're not like us. Exactly, right? Sometimes that's easy. Yeah, good, right? But sometimes it's not, right? Sometimes it's hard. Change the way you feel, though. We have powerful enemies you have overcome. Right? You've overcome. You've won. You've won. You're in Christ. You've won. Isn't that awesome? You have hope. There's heaven for you. And Christ has done everything you need. The world system, still going on in our experience, but it's over. It's done. Change how you feel. Be hopeful today. Don't be overcome by the world. Don't let the way you see things going drag you down. Christian today, be joyful. Have faith. God's working it out. It's good. It's very good. And let's just do our job. Love each other. Love our enemies. Share the gospel of Jesus Christ. Tell everybody how wonderful He is. And just fill one another with hope. Pray with me. God, thank You for this reminder today. In the middle of this broken world, a lot of times our hearts are very heavy. Even just the simple day-to-day life things where physically our bodies break down, things don't go our way, or people are nasty to us or whatever. Wow, you have given us the answer. You know our sorrows and weep with us. That You love us in the middle of our struggles and that You have already paid the price and penalty for our sin. We have nothing to fear in this world. Heaven is ahead for the Christian. Good is ahead, and we can live a life of an overcomer today. God, You know how we're pulled by this world and tugged to try to get us to go its way, either into sin or into fighting or whatever. God, please help us. Keep us on focus and on mission of sharing the gospel and loving people and helping people and being gracious and all those things are often difficult for us. Because we want You to be glorified. We want Your name to be known. We want to be a shining example of what it means to be in Christ in this world. And we just certainly pray to that end. In Jesus' name, amen.